How's everybody today? Y'all gonna help me act out a story, okay? You ever heard the story of the Good Samaritan? Y'all don't know that story? Don't know that story? Okay. Well, I need some actors here. I need the guy that gets beat up. All right, Jimmy, come on. You can be the guy that gets beat up, all right? And I need the Good Samaritan. All right, come on. Yeah, come on, babe. You're gonna be the Good Samaritan, okay? And I need a Levite. You gonna be the Levite, okay? You gonna be the Levite. I need a priest. Who's gonna be a priest for me? All right, come on, Raheem. You can be a priest. Come on over here. All right. And I need some robbers. All right. Two robbers right here. Right here. All right. Okay. All right. I need two robbers and I need an innkeeper. All right. Come on, Elisha. You can be the innkeeper and you're gonna be over here. All right. Okay, now I want you remember your role? You're the guy that gets beat up. You got that down. All right. Who's our Good Samaritan? Yes, Miss Westfield. All right, and who's our Levite? And Raheem, you're our priest. And you guys are our robber, and you're the innkeeper. All right, you ready? All right, and I'm going to let y'all act it out, okay? Come back here. All right. Here's our Jewish friend, and he's walking along. He's on his way to the next city. And some robbers come in and beat him up. And beat him up, and they knock him to the ground. They knock him to the ground. Hey, they knock him to the ground. Let's not let the ADD get away with us here. All right? And they strip off his cloak. Don't do that. And they take all his money and they run away. Okay? Y'all run away and y'all sit over there because y'all are away. Okay, about this time, a Levite comes by. He's on his way to the temple to do his duty. And he comes by and he walks by and he sees this man, this Jewish brother who's been beat up and robbed. And what does he do? He walks by on the other side of the road and ignores him. Okay? Then a priest comes by. That's you, Raheem. Priest comes by, and surely the priest, this is a man that's been beat up and robbed. Surely he's going to stop, but he does the same thing. He looks at the man, and he walks by. He ignores him. A Jewish brother. Then we come to the Samaritan. Now the Samaritan, they hate Jews. They don't like Jews. They think Jews have got it wrong. The Jews think Samaritans got it wrong. They look down on one another. But the Good Samaritan comes by. And the Good Samaritan sees this man. Leans down. Turns him over. Let's cooperate there a little bit. All right. Raises him up.
I can't do that.
Raises him up. Come on.
Get up.
And rubs his wounds and takes him to the innkeeper in the next town and says to the innkeeper, "You take care of this man. I'll give you money to take care of him. And when I come back by, if there's been any more money than what this is that I owe you, I'll pay you." That's the end of the story. All right, y'all come back over here. Y'all come back over here and sit down. You remember the story now?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Listen to me. Jesus told this story to a lawyer who was wanting to know who his neighbor was. And that day, we saw that even guys that were the same country, same race, same everything as this guy, ignored him. And here's a Samaritan. So the question at the end of the story is, who was truly a neighbor and helped this man? Who was it? The Good Samaritan. That's why we call that story the story of the Good Samaritan. Because the Samaritan did what was right. Even though the Samaritan was different in race, different in country, different in belief, different in everything, and their peoples hated one another. But they did the right thing, the godly thing, the Jesus thing. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we will do the right thing, the godly thing, the Jesus thing. When we see people in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all can go to your class now. Today we're going to talk about another H in my H series this summer. We talked about hope and hurt. And today we're going to talk about help. Okay? Help. I want you to look up on the screen here. And there's the title of my sermon, and I've taken it from this passage in Hezekiah. God helps those who help themselves. That's one of your favorite. Was that somebody's memory verse? That's true, isn't it? There's no such book as Hezekiah. And this is 180 degrees out of phase from the truth. You know, people say that all the time. Oh, that's got to be in the Bible. It sounds good. God helps those who help themselves. Not true. Not true. We're going to lead off today with about help, but with a short video, about a minute and a half video.
A little girl sits on her own, sucking her thumb in the middle of a busy shopping center, looking scared and alone. So would you stop to see if she's okay? Well, more than 600 people didn't. As part of a TV experiment, two little girls were left alone on a London street to test the public's reaction to lost children. In the space of an hour, only one person stopped to see if the child needed help, while 616 walked on by. 7-year-old Uma was taken to Victoria Place Shopping Centre next to Victoria Station and left on her own, but with tight security around her.
Right, I've got a whole cluster of people.
So hard to watch people just walk by and ignore her.
Her 5-year-old sister, Maya, also takes part in the experiment, and at one stage a couple find her in their path and simply walk either side without stopping. Their mother, who watched from a short distance away, says it was shocking and heartbreaking to watch so many people ignore her children when they were clearly alone and vulnerable. The experiment has highlighted the fact that many people now feel too scared of other people's perceptions to stop to help a young person, but the NSPCC says an adult's responsibility to protect a child should supersede these concerns. Little Girl Lost, a Police 5 special, airs on Tuesday the 25th of March at 6:30 p.m. on Channel 5.
And I know you'll be tuning in. Does that shock you? You ever seen anything like that before? Remember the story years ago of, this has probably been 30 years ago, a woman who was violated, beaten to death in the common area of an apartment building. While 33 people watched, either watched or listened to what was happening. And when they were asked later on, why didn't you get involved? They said, oh, I was afraid. I was afraid something may happen to me. Are you part of the solution or part of the problem? Many in our society have the spiritual gift of complaint. We do plenty of it. But at the end of the day, here's the question. When you look in the mirror, are you part of the solution or part of the problem? It's easy to distance yourself and say, well, I won't be a part of that. I can make my comments from a distance, but you still have to answer the question. Are you part of the solution? Are you part of the problem? You're one or the other. You can't ride the fence on this one. How many people around you need help? You walk through a shopping mall. You know, and maybe you've subscribed to this era here, and that's diametrically wrong. God who helps those who help themselves. In fact, John, take that away. The people in your neighborhood, your friends, are there people crying out for help? Now, I want to take you to a passage of Scripture. If you will, turn with me to James, the 4th chapter. Hebrews, James, and verse 17. Now hear this verse. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him, it is what? Sin. When you know the right thing to do, and yet you draw back and refuse to do it, it's sin. It's not part of God's plan. Do you know there's a spiritual gift of helps for real? A spiritual gift that is listed in the gift. List of gifts of the Spirit, of helps. Now, I know people define that in a lot of ways. And a lot of people that I've read want to define it in a way that doesn't make them feel guilty. But I want you to see there's a wide definition there of helping, of being part of the solution in people's lives. Now, let's start with the gospel for us. The gospel of Jesus Christ. How has Jesus helped us? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. So why do we need to be saved? Why do we need to be helped? What is the pinnacle? Let's start with that for just a moment. What is the pinnacle of help that has ever happened in the earth? Son of God became a man. He comes on this rescue mission for mankind. Next Sunday afternoon, we'll celebrate that with the people who are going to be baptized that have received that gift of salvation. They have accepted the help that Jesus said He would bring into their lives. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. We needed help, and God came to our aid. He came and helped us with what we needed. So that's the pinnacle of help. That is the overarching truth about help. Well, let's look at some things about help. Is being a help timely? All right, we saw it in the story a moment ago, acted out by our children. Would a day later been good enough for this Jewish man beaten and robbed on the side of the road? When did he need help? Right now. The little girl in the video, the sisters, while their mom watches on 616 people pass by. I've been to that place, by the way. 616 people pass by and one person stops to help. Help is timely. It's very timely. It's timely on both sides of it. There are people in your life who need help, and when you've offered help, what'd they say? Some of them, I'm all right right now. And they put that hand out and they say, I'm all right right now. And even as they're saying that, part of them is dying. What stands in the way of them accepting that help? You better believe it. That's in the middle of everything in our society. And in fact, let me point you back to the verse we just read from James 4:17. Look at what 4:16 says. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. They bust our chops with that, you know. So pride stands in the way. Okay, so would you agree with me that help is timely? You've been on the side of the road, you've been someplace, you needed a helping hand, you need someone to come. Did any of you see that video? I don't even know where it was. Audrey showed it to me. Where the person was trapped underneath the car this week, and all the people just came. I wonder how many of them got up that morning and said, you know, I think sometime today I'm going to go lift a car off of somebody. Just think about it. The impulse and to go do it. To go do it. Secondly, we all need help. How much help do you need? One of the maladies of our culture is this pride and arrogance that says, well, I'll just pull myself up by my own bootstraps. That doesn't work anywhere at any time. Let me take you, I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps just because of what's in me. Let me go put you in a third world country. Or maybe a fifth world country like, there's no such thing, but like Haiti. Let's plant you, and let's change the color of your skin, and let's change your education, and change who your mom and daddy were, and change the opportunities you have, and then you tell me, well, I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. A little different, isn't it? A little different when you can't just call up somebody and say, you know, I really need some help today. A friend of mine went to school out in San Francisco. And in fact, he went to a seminary out there. And he was telling me he drove his, they had an old beat-up car and an old beat-up pickup truck. And he thought about getting rid of the pickup truck before they moved to San Francisco because he thought, man, it's going to be an eyesore. These people are fairly erudite out here, you know. They're going to make fun of me with my pickup truck. Thought about getting rid of them, but kept it. Boy, was he glad he kept that pickup truck. People started stopping by his house, the little apartment they lived in, said, "Hey, you think I could borrow you and that pickup truck for a couple hours?" This started happening. By the middle of his first semester, He had to turn down business. They're worried about getting a job. And he said, man, this old beat-up truck that everybody has one in the South, where he grew up, he said, nobody has one in San Francisco. He said, I carried furniture. I carried clothes. He said they just needed someone to do. He said, I met so many people out there that didn't have a relative they could call, that didn't have a friend that would come over and help them move. Help. Help. It's so basic. Follow with me here. Follow with it. Some of you have already checked out and you say, oh, this is too simplistic. Hey, No. You know, you're right in line for Jesus to bust your chops today. You're right on the line. The crosshairs are right on you today with this truth. Follow me. Some help is wrong, isn't it? The busybody mother-in-law, right after her son marries this woman that she didn't approve of to begin with, that wants to come over and help them, get the word there, the verb, help them set up their kitchen. Can I get a witness? Don't raise your hand. It's being videoed. I might reveal something about our situation. Listen, all of us have feet of clay, man. Some help's wrong. Some help is just an excuse for somebody to control. Or somebody to try to change your mind about something. Or somebody to barge in. Poor thing. Help can reveal your heart. Can reveal what's on the inside. Let me see if I can quote this from the love chapter. I can't sing it as well because I don't want to run you out the back door. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. That's the way I memorized it first in the King James Version. It gets at your motivation. Help can reveal that. Can reveal who you really are and what matters to you when you strip away all the trapping. Fifth thing. Help is not a one-size-fits-all. Well, I helped. You have, so many of you in this room have children, and you have more than one child. The help that you gave them coming along, was it the same? Of course not. I mean, my mom was a Nazi about making things even with me and my brother. All along. She was just bulldogmatic about just making it and trying to do that. It was just part of it. But the thing was, these are two different children. Is the help the same? I mean, even when you look at disciplining children, man, our oldest son, Brandon, you know, putting a clamp down on his time where he was limited in some way and couldn't do something, man, that was great discipline, very effective discipline in his life. Megan came along, my daughter. All I had to do was look at her. We're not going to talk about Logan. He's not out of the house completely yet. Yeah. Two different children. I want you to think about this. It's not a one size fits all when you're helping me. You know, the principles are the same, but the application is different. Because people, and for that reason, we've got to be driven by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got to lead us and show us what to do and how to do it. Quickly. All help that is really help comes from the Lord. You say, well, I know some people that don't belong to Jesus, and I think they were really helping. Well, where did they get that idea? At last, where did it come from? Go back in creation and see where it came from. It was from the fount of the Lord Himself. Helping requires sacrifice. Always sacrifice. Sacrifice is your time. Man, you're on the way. I'm buttoning the button because this has happened. And I had the tie on. And the person's on the side of the road. They need help. You can see it. Looking around. Man, nobody else is stopping. I'm late. I'm speaking at this thing. What am I? You see? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. And the sacrifice starts with you. Because at last, help is personal. You're going to be part of the solution or part of the problem in people's lives. And see, the delivery system is always personal. Because at last, help is rooted in the gospel. Help is the actual Jesus taking on your hands and your feet and your mouth and your body and you becoming the reflection of Jesus to the world. The one who motivates you. The one who speaks to you. God's not interested in us having church. He's interested in us being the church. Let's pray. How's the Lord spoken to you today? How will you respond to what you've seen and heard today? You must have a response. You've been around the world today. We have worshiped. We've heard testimony and seen pictures of Christ's work down the Caribbean. We have read the Word. We have seen video that's challenged us. What is God saying to you right now? Lord, now, we invite your Holy Spirit. Come now and stir us. May we be obedient to what the Spirit is saying to us. How, Lord, you're moving us, who have within us the answer to all of the world's ills. Lord, we have you. I'm asking you right now, I'm asking you to stir us. Stir us, Lord, where we can't ignore the moving of the Spirit. ask our pastors to come. The altar's open. If you want to come and pray, if you want to grab someone and come and pray with you today, or if you just want to sit right where you are and just soak in what the Lord is speaking to you today. Look this way, if you will. How many of you have a need that you really need a miracle for God to do something? Anybody? Well, a few of us willing to admit that. First you got to recognize there's a need. That's the first thing in salvation. Oh, I need you, Jesus. Okay, so you believe God will provide? Has He come? Corey, has God provided for you? How much?
Way more than I deserve.
I mean, let's go back just a little while, and let's go to today, and look how God has provided. I mean, Corey's a fat cat up in Atlanta now. I mean, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah,
that's right. It's real. God will come. So let's pray. This I'm going to send you out with this prayer. Send you out. Lord, right now, I'm thanking you that you are Yahweh Yireh. You are the God who provides for His people. That you are over all. And Lord, I'm asking you to do that. All the hands that were raised here, Lord, whatever the need. If it was healing, if it was hope, if it was financial, if it was a job, if it was a family relationship that's broken, Lord, wherever the need is, Lord, we're asking you to come and provide. Come, Jesus, and move in power and in glory today. Send us out, Lord, from this place to be the help, to be part of the solution, to be part of the salvation, to be part of Jesus is coming in this earth. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Oh, who needs a hug? All right, these people with their hands raised, y'all get them. Sick them.